Well, good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Thank you very much to Ray Graff for filling in yesterday and for filling in this morning. And I was late, but I made at least an hour of the show. So that sort of counts. So like half day. So that's good. But thanks to everybody for filling in. I appreciate that. I had to get here. I had to be here in time. We have a brand new bookseller on this morning, and I'm more than a little thrilled. Each week, we welcome a bookseller from an independent bookstore in our region. Kara Weisner is the new owner of Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, New York, and she's making her debut with us today, and we couldn't be more happy about that. Kara, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a great pleasure. So here's the story. When we started this segment, I believe 16 years ago, Scott Meyer was the first bookseller we ever had on the show, and he was a dear, dear friend. We loved him to death. And sadly, he left us way too early. And but the bookstore has now found its way into your very capable hands,
and
so it's lovely that you've taken it over. And so, what is that? Has it been fun?
It's been really fun.
Enjoying and realizing what he built there and created, and
what he built there, and his wife Allison, who's
yes,
still working there with me.
That's
which
great.
Is, you know, essential, really. And it's an honor to kind of follow in his footsteps because he clearly was someone who loved books and the community.
He sure did. And, well, it's just, I'm glad the bookstore found its way to you, and it's all in good hands. And I think, I know he would be very happy about that as well.
Thank you.
So let us talk about the good books that you brought in, because you have quite a pile there. Where would you like to begin?
I'm going to begin with the heaviest hitter.
Okay.
Just to kind of sort of start us out. So the first book I have is called Mischling by a woman named Affinity Konar. And it is, it tells the story of two sisters, twins, in Auschwitz, and their relationship and taken in by Mengele and his whole group of twins that, you know, unfortunately he did horrific research on. But she tells an important story, a story that I think none of us ever want to forget, and that some people sometimes forget kind of or don't even know some of the details. But she tells the story with grace and passion, and in a way where you can look at the big picture and then get into some of the details without being kind of sort of taken down so far that you can't, you know, continue reading it. And it's really, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. And as I read it, I thought, this is definitely one I really want to talk about.
It is Mischling by Affinity Konar, and new, relatively new?
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Next up.
So as I was reading Mischling, and I was looking at some of the people who blurbed it on the back, I noted a writer named Rivka Galkin, who wrote something about Mischling, but whose book was one of my favorites actually of this spring. But it's, you know, it's gotten kind of very quiet attention, and I looked back through all the pages and no one's spoken about it yet. And it's called Little Labors, and it's based, it's kind of sort of influenced by Se Shangan's The Pillow Book, which are kind of musings on life in court and things like that. But it's about motherhood and modern motherhood, and Rivka tells the story of her becoming a mother and her daughter in such a respectful way that when I read it, kind of my heart sang, because it's hard to write about children in a way that, you know, they are going to want to read about it later.
Right.
And sometimes I get very nervous when I read things, and I just think much more about the child than about the parent. And she is so deliciously in love with her daughter, and yet able to look at the good and the bad in a way that really comes through. I thought about reading a little bit of it.
Oh, please do.
Okay. So, all of the items pertaining to the baby are kept in a 3-shelved metal cabinet in the bathroom. The cabinet is a sturdy item ordered from an industrial products catalog that also sells hazard labels in bulk. On the top shelf of the cabinet, still out of the baby's reach, are diapers, crib sheets, and for no particular reasons, the baby socks. The baby loves to disorder the shelves. She can't yet walk or even crawl. Instead, she uses her arms to heave-ho her legs forward. We call this her wounded deer maneuver. Whenever the bathroom door is left open, she hurries, in her way, over to the cabinet and steadily and joyfully dedicates herself to unshelving all the reachable objects into making heaps.
It is Rivka Galchen. Is that how we're pronouncing it?
I think it's Galchen.
Galchen.
I hope.
That sounds better. Little Labors by Rivka Galchen.
And it's beautiful. It's orange and cloth bound, and it's just it's a perfect gift for a kind of someone who wants to think about modern parenthood.
Gorgeous. Little Labors. Right. Next.
I'm going to go totally other direction. 1920s and 30s. Austria, actually. An Austrian writer who's been dead for a very long time named Stefan Zweig. And he wrote this book called 24 Hours in the Life of a Woman. It's a novella, so it's a short read for people out there who don't feel like they have as much time as they'd like these days. Mm-hmm. And I read it and it's told in the first person. It kind of sucks you in. It's definitely something you could read in an evening or an afternoon. And I was talking about it with somebody, and later on we were talking again, and he said, "Do you realize it's been made into a movie 5 times?
Wow.
5 times, starting in like the 30s, most recently in 2002 with actually Michael Nyman music, which I was kind of excited about.
Nice.
So it's just, you know, it says on the cover, intoxicating. It's 24 hours in the life of a woman, and she has a very dramatic, passionate affair with someone. And I won't give away how it ends, but he really kind of grips you in this story and then hangs you out to dry.
Well, it is. That's very cool. So it's Stefan Zweig, and the name of the book is 24 Hours in the Life of a Woman. Very cool.
Right. I'm going to do my last fiction pick
now.
So Maggie O'Farrell, maybe unsung in America, sung a little bit more in England and her native Scotland. So this is called This Must Be the Place, and it is the story of a family, and it's a family that's evolved. It's like a second marriage for both of the main characters, and there are lots of children in different places, and the husband finds out a fact about his past and kind of loses it. But she gets into all the different characters. She tells, you know, different chapters are told from a different point of view, and that's dangerous and can be tricky, but she does it well. This is a book that I think a man could read, you know, very easily, as well as a woman, if he's like looking for something that kind of sort of feels maybe more like a, you know, a fiction book that maybe speaks to men a little bit more. I think occasionally I find that in readers. And
sure.
She gets kids, she gets adults, she gets passion, and you also don't want to put it down.
Good stuff. It is This Must Be the Place by Maggie O'Farrell. Excellent.
All right. So yesterday somebody said to me the hardest thing to be is a city tree, an urban tree. And we were looking at this book called Urban Forests by Jill Jones.
Yes.
It comes out today, and it is both a celebration and a reminder that trees are really essential to our world and to our evolving kind of sort of blacktop surfaces all over our cities. And that when you look at aerial views of cities, they're a little bit tricky. But in this, really, she celebrates kind of the history of trees and how different people in government have approached trees throughout the history of America. You know, Mayor Bloomberg did a lot of really wonderful things with the million trees in New York City, which turned out to be a kind of sort of bigger deal than it is. And really, this generation now who's growing up really have to think about climate change and what it means, and to be able to plant trees and plant the right trees. There's, you know, I think there are a lot of tree books out these days. I saw a couple had been on.
Yes.
But it's for a reason.
Very good. Yeah, that I have partially read that book, and it's very good and really interesting. Urban Forest is the name of the book. Next.
History of the Hudson River Valley.
Oh, this is a good one. I love this book.
So this is the second volume in Vernon Benjamin's History of the Hudson River Valley. This is Civil War to Modern Times. And so he picked up right where he left off. And, you know, it is very, you know, very many pages, but he tells in detail the history of the Hudson Valley. And you, if you live here and or you work here or you spend time here, or even if you don't and you're just interested, this covers, you know, the Roosevelts and up to Storm King and you know, just into kind of the very beginning of the 2000s. And Vernon Benjamin lives in Saugerties.
Yep.
He is an amazing gentleman and a really nice man. And And this is, you know, everybody who hasn't, who's read the first is certainly going to want to read this.
You got to read the second. There's a lot in there. WAMC story is in there. We're part of the book.
Yes.
So it's lovely. It's we made the history books. We're very, very thrilled. Alan and the story of the station made the fact that everyone in the valley knows the phone number and can sing it at the top of their lungs. It's a very cool book. We love it. So that name of that is History of the Hudson Valley: Civil War to Modern Times by Vernon Benjamin. All right. What next?
All right, so let's go to a children's book for a second.
Okay, good.
All right, so this is called A Child of Books. It is by Oliver Jeffers and, Sam Winston. He's the illustrator. And, you know, we're looking at it here. The audience can't see it, but it's this kind of lush red color with a little blue child sitting on top of a book with a lock on it. And what it basically does is it's just a reminder of how wonderful and beautiful books are and to be a child who gets to experience them. I am a child of books. I come from a world of stories. And upon my imagination, I float.
Uh-oh. That's cool.
And it's decorated. The illustrations are all embedded with text from books that have already been in print, Gulliver's Travels, Swiss Family Robinson, real classics. And it kind of sort of, the girl brings a boy, you know, with her, and they yet go back into this land of stories where it's nice to remember we all have that place to go.
Very cool. It's a beautiful children's book. It's called A Child of Books by Oliver Jeffers and Sam Winston. And yes, that is gorgeous. We have time for probably one more.
Okay. Let's go funny a little bit
into
Alexander Hamilton's Guide to Life by Jeff Wilser. This also is just come out. For anybody, you know, I think we're all still maybe a little bit on the Hamilton train. I think I'm still firmly on the Hamilton train. And this is possibly an alternative for people who don't have the energy for the Cherno book.
actually read a full history book.
Right?
Sure.
It's still a little big.
Yeah.
But it's a kind of sort of lighter little volume and definitely speaks to some of the things that are brought up in the play that are good, you know, maybe some clarifications. And definitely I've seen, you know, I don't know if you've seen, but there's a tendency, I think, these days for 12 and 13 and 11-year-olds to pick up the Cherno book and kind of walk around with it for a long time. And, you know, we know they're reading parts of it, but this is definitely something that both, I would say, you know, tweens to grown-ups can get and enjoy. It rounds out some of the stories. It's a little bit funny. It clumps it into like really a little bit more of what his life advice was. It's a small kind of sort of, you know, fun book to give as a present.
Good stuff. The book is Alexander Hamilton's Guide to Life by Jeff Wilser, and that is a great list. A lot going on there. Kara Weisner is the owner of Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook. For more information about the store, you can go to their website. It's MerrittBookstore.com. MerrittBookstore.com. Kara's book list and the book picks are posted online at wamc.org/roundtable. And I assume they will make their way to your website as well.
Yes, I hope so. We have lots of events and things coming up.
Excellent.
Great to read about.
MerrittBookstore.com for that information. Kara, what a delight to meet you. Thank you so much for coming in, and I look forward to having you back very soon.
Thank you. I do too.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.